rest of this story. Night was falling fast as Junior crawled out onto the wing of the torpedo bomber. The plane was bobbing in the ocean like a cork. Junior called to the pilot who'd clambered out onto the other wing. How long will she stay dry? She could sink in 1 minute, came the reply. Which way is land? Junior asked. The pilot pointed. His best guess? Together the two plunged into the Pacific, swimming hard toward a distant, invisible shore. Before long, Junior lost track of the pilot in the dusk. Shouted to him, no answer. Junior kept swimming. After an hour or more, the coast did come into view. The plane must have ditched miles from land, Junior thought to himself. It was, in fact, 3 miles. But now an even more formidable problem arose, for through the gloom between Junior and the rocky shoreline, he could see the ominous blue phosphorescence of jellyfish, poisonous jellyfish, maybe thousands of them. But Junior had not struggled this far to get stung to death in the dark. So ever so cautiously, he maneuvered himself among the jellyfish. He got past them, only to discover now, within 100 yards of safety, the powerful undertow. And Junior was beginning to lose consciousness. But before he drifted into oblivion, the day's urgencies swirled through his mind. How he'd been stuck in Seattle with only a few hours left on his weekend pass. His only hope for returning on schedule to his army base in Monterey was to hitch a ride on this torpedo bomber bound for San Francisco. It was strictly against regulations, of course, but Junior was desperate and the pilot was sympathetic. The only room on the craft was in the cramped maintenance area near the tail. There was a hatch back there which blew open when the plane reached 1,000 feet, so to keep from getting sucked out, Junior tied himself down with cable, and then the oxygen mask malfunctioned. As the atmosphere grew thin, Junior shrieked for help through the intercom, but the intercom didn't work. Junior's brain was going dark, but the real enemy was just outside the plane. Fog, a sky full of fog. The pilot could never find his airbase now. They were running out of fuel. And that's how AWOL Jr. and the sympathetic pilot came to be clinging to the wing of a torpedo bomber in the Pacific somewhere between Seattle and San Francisco. No, Jr. did not drown. In fact, he came to on a flat rock on more or less dry land, stumbled to his feet and trudged 5 miles in the dead of night to a radio communications relay station. An astonished radio operator said, "You look like a survivor from the Titanic." Junior felt like one. The pilot swam to safety as well, came ashore about a quarter mile from where Junior had come ashore. Oh, yes, they both got a good scolding, but they lived to tell why. And Junior lived to do a whole lot more than that. The pilot, really have no idea what happened to him later on, but there will come a time real soon when you will stare into the stern, haunting eyes of the man called Junior by his family, and you will revisit that night in 1950, the night that was almost his last, when the ocean almost claimed a young soldier named Clint Eastwood. And you will know the rest of the story.